are the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every time we can. I'm Cliff East Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. Who knows if we'll do another one before the year ends, but we're here.
We're going to throw it all in now. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, just
Happy
in case.
Happy New Year and Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's Day. Martin
Easter,
Luther King.
Mother's Day, just in
Presidents.
Case.
We're really hedging our bets here.
Just in case. Have a good summer, everyone. Congrats to the Milwaukee Bucks for their... who knows? We gotta pre-record
all that
stuff.
Just say congrats, right? Because they'll win something.
Congrats to the new NBA champs. Great series. Great finals. Wow. Some good games, some bad games, some blowouts, some real nail biters.
The home team really brought it that time, and the away team just did not do as well.
Uncharacteristically bad, yeah, for sure. But it was great. This feels like we're recording 2K. The 2K lines. The home team shooting 73% in the first half.
Wow, this two-time All-Star is getting off to a hot start. Two quick baskets.
Oh, gosh. Let's check in with the fourth member of our team, Ali LaForce.
David Aldridge.
Oh, yeah. It is DA. That's the real one. Oh, shoot. Oh, that's great.
All right, guys. We're going to overreact today. We're going to do some all-day and cray-cray. We got to talk about everything in-season tournament there, but we got to start by taking a double step back looking at the news. Joe, I texted you this, and it got worse. The Pistons were 2-1 to start the season. They are now 2-21. They're on a 20-game losing streak. Wingstop has a promotion for every time the Pistons win, you get 5 free wings. There have only been 10 wings that have been gone. It's only
been
done
5 free wings
times.
Every win?
5
wow.
Free wings. It's only that, they've only done it 2 times.
Wow. That might be
what
the
a
most...
win for the Wingstop promotion.
That might be the biggest slap in the face. They're like, I mean, at most we're giving away like 50 wings. Like, at most.
Like for the whole year. They're going to slap our logo on everything. We're going to give away 50 wings. That's not bad.
Jeez. That is crazy. Wow. Because, you know, for most teams, it's like some very unlikely event that triggers the free thing.
Yeah.
You got to keep them under a certain number of points. They got to miss 2 free throws in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the Lakers one is you got to be under 110.
Yeah. And for Wingstop, they're just like, hey, if we win. If we win.
Any Pistons win. Anyone.
Wow. That's pretty sad.
It's not great. Joe, but my favorite story. Draymond Zangief'd tornado punched Nurkic. Yeah. What the
Why?
Heck?
I have no idea. What was going on?
What is happening?
You know what reminded me of, Cliff? I don't know. This is kind of like... I don't know why I thought of this. It's like pretty throwback. But you remember the game Streets of Rage?
Yes, I do remember Streets
remember
of Rage.
Remember the main guy? He does like a spinny flaming punch.
Oh, yeah.
That's his super move. I don't know why, but it looks just like that, actually. Axel, that's his name. He does that flaming
Axel.
Spinny punch. And that's why, Draymond? Why are you doing that?
The backhand punch is pretty crazy.
He did a full 360 and he was like, I feel like he was deciding what to do
in the moment,
like, as he was spinning, and he was like, you know what, I'm just gonna punch this fool, like I'm just gonna smack him in the face.
It was pretty hard. There's a lot of flopping in the NBA, of course, but this one I was like, oh
no,
you got full contact right there.
Not a, it looked like an MMA, you know, playback.
Yeah.
It's like, he got contact. Him. He spun.
Yeah,
back.
Joe Rogan's like,
tricked
oh!
him. With the feint. got him leaning in and just clipped got him right on the chin. So, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Not great. Look, we defend Draymond at times, but this is obviously indefensible. He's obviously going to get suspended. Probably, what do you think? 8 games?
I mean, it's going to be something. He's a repeat offender this season.
He already got 5.
This
so he's
season.
Probably 10, actually. He'll probably get 10 games. Man. But it's deserved. You gotta not unprovoked spin punch somebody in the face. Like, that's
you
just
You got
not...
Nurkic. What? What has he done?
I know.
It's not Grayson Allen, you know?
Yeah.
What has Nurkic done?
Not a known instigator. Nurk is pretty chill. I don't think he's going crazy out there.
Even after he did, like, Nurk wasn't even mad. He was just like, I think the brother's got some problems. I'm like, okay. Okay, guy.
Yeah.
So nice. Ja is on the court almost, but he's actually in court now.
Oh. Oh, no. Why?
Because he beat up a teen in his house. There's pictures of him holding his arm out just to show the distance between him and the person. Ja Morant, what? Why? Should be on the court, not in court.
Yeah. Ja is, you know what's crazy? What I've been thinking is that Ja, it should be SGA right now.
You're right.
Yeah, SGA basically is Ja. It's like Ja without Ja problems. That's SGA. And he is like just destroying the league.
And we're not talking about game. We're talking about the persona, right?
Yeah.
Like the perception of the media.
I mean, game too, a little bit. Not like that their games resemble each other, but you know, they play the same position, essentially.
Yeah.
Scoring guard. Pretty unstoppable, even.
Both
I mean, Ja, when he's
in
on, he
ways.
Is unstoppable. Like, Shea's obviously a much better shooter. And just overall, his game
more,
is so
more
smooth.
Skilled. More
yeah,
skilled,
more
yeah.
skilled. But, I mean, would it be weird if Ja had SGA's numbers, basically, and Memphis was where OKC is right now?
It wouldn't be. It would make way more sense.
It would
actually.
Make way more sense. Yeah, not at all, right? I mean, and that's what should be happening. Unfortunately, you know, Ja's had his problems. I do hope everything is resolved well and he is able to come back. But who knows? We'll see.
This is similar to Draymond tornado punching Nurkic. Similar to no couples making it on Bachelor in Paradise. Ja being in legal trouble is just now a pattern. It's just,
unfortunately,
what it is. Last one,
I hope
Joe.
He's learning, though. Cliff, you know what, Cliff? And we said this before. I hope he has learned something. Right? We all knew that 1 week in Florida, in you know, quote unquote rehab, whatever that was. We all knew that wasn't going to do anything. Hopefully, this time off. And time in court is actually going to maybe, you know, be a wake-up call for him. I'm hoping, but we'll see.
I hope that he looks at SGA and is jealous.
Mm.
That's what I hope. He's like, that's my spot, right? The ascending star, the next, right? I hope he looks at him and be like, that was mine, and goes after it. That's what I hope.
I hope so.
Joe, last one. Minnesota is still rising. Can you believe it?
Yeah. I expect, much like the Bundy curse, for the good to accumulate an equal and equivalent bad on the other side. So it's going to go for a while. You know, you can't just crumble right now. That's not epic.
I see.
It's got to go for a while. We got to go to a certain point when something really matters and is on the line, and then we'll see what happens. But for the time being, I'll just give them credit. They're playing well, you know? Even Gobert has been playing. I still see how he's terrible when I watch.
He's playing better. He's playing better. He's still bad.
They're winning.
He's still bad.
So they figured out something.
He's still a top 300 NBA player, okay?
They figured out something. I'll say that much for now. But we'll see. I fully expect something epically bad to happen at some point. Pretty confident.
As it always does. All right, let's hit into it. All day cray cray. Wild overreactions from the in-season tournament. As you know, the good guys, the Los Angeles Lakers, won the in-season tournament. They're going to put up a banner.
Oh my gosh. Popping champagne with the
popping champagne.
With the full-on snorkel in the
goggles, everything. Joe, AD puts up 40-20. LeBron played inspired throughout. The reserves brought it. And LeBron lifts the MVP trophy that he played so hard for. And the Los Angeles Lakers take home the first ever in-season tournament championship. Joe, all day cray-cray. The Lakers will win the West.
I mean, come on, guys. Obvious cray-cray.
What?
Cliff, they played well in the in-season tournament. We knew they would play well. They had been playing well. It was not at all a surprise that LeBron turned it on during the in-season tournament.
On. Really turned it on.
What did
we say? I
was like,
you could still move that fast? I was shocked.
He absolutely cared about his name being on that list of inaugural in-season tournament winner. We all know he cares about his legacy. We all know that he would love to have something on his resume that Michael Jordan can never, ever get. Because it didn't exist, and this absolutely meaningless tournament that nobody in the world cares about, of course, we knew if he played 150% and the other teams were just like whatever, playing at 70%, then of course, he had a chance, he would win it, and he did. Does that matter? Can he do that for an actual playoff series when every team is playing at 110% because everybody cares equally about the prize? I don't think so. So, No, I don't think the Lakers are going to win the West. And I know you're probably going to point out that they have not beat anyone good.
Yeah, look. Here's the real problem. If you look deeper into the box score, the Lakers, 7-0 in-season tournament. Amazing record. They're 8-10 in other games. 8-10. Joe, the in-season tournament, they played Memphis. They played Portland. They played Phoenix. Mm-hmm. They played Utah. They played New Orleans. And now Indiana. What? The West? Yeah. Everybody in the West, those records combine 44-69. A combined winning percentage of 39%.
Yeah. Three of those teams are trash. Memphis, Portland, Utah. And then you got Phoenix, which obviously probably will be good by the end of the year. They're like whatever's right now. And then New Orleans, which has been up and down. I mean, definitely a middle team. You know,
They've only played Phoenix. They've never played Phoenix healthy. They've only played Phoenix with two stars playing. The two other times they played Phoenix, it was only KD.
Right.
Not even Devin Booker, right? So the other games, Joe, the other games of substance, like the 8-10, the biggest names they've beaten are the Clippers.
Man.
That's it. They've lost to, let me tell you,
terrible.
OKC, Philly, Dallas, Sac, Miami, Orlando, Denver. Are we noticing something here that's happening?
Yeah, not surprising. I mean, and you could see it when they play the games. They're only good again. They're super kind of front running right now. Like when we play bad teams, everybody's confident. They come in like they think they own the place. LeBron comes in like, you know, King James type stuff. And they just like steamroll this bad team. And then whenever we play anybody good, we look timid. We look soft. Mm-hmm. A lot of times LeBron or AD or both will have a bad game. Offense looks super disjointed. Mm-hmm. Effort's not there. You know, it's like one of those things where you kind of feel like you might lose and then you're like, all right, well, I'm just not going to play 100% then. You know, instead of thinking to win this game, I have to play 150%. I have to give all of my effort and more and get every 50-50 ball and play extra hard defense.
Yep.
Yeah. The Lakers instead, when they know they can destroy the team, that's how they play. And then when they think they might not be able to win the game, they're just like, whatever. I mean, we're not going to win anyway. So I'm just going to come in with whatever effort. And that's how they look. That's how they look. That's what a front-running team is, right? And that's how they appear right now.
It's very strange. It's very strange. But here's the thing. There's all this talk about Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine, we need to get Zach LaVine. That's everything. Zach LaVine. There's new reports that D'Lo is on the block. They're like trying to trade D'Angelo for something. Joe, the Lakers don't need to add anything. The players around AD and LeBron are perfect. Chemistry, fit, play style, everything. Like, yep. They get along. It's like the union is perfect. Everything that they have. Here's the problem. The problem is always and will forever be with AD and LeBron. The team will only go as far as those two guys go. Joe, I looked into it. AD, if you look at his splits, wins and losses, the stats are basically exactly the same. Field goal percentage is like exactly the same at like 53, 54%. The difference, field goal attempts. That's the major difference. He has four field goal attempts less in losses than in wins. Say, like, you'll see. So, of course, his points go down, right? We've seen this with Anthony Davis. When he's on, when he's like... real Anthony Davis? Well, actually, I don't know which one the real one is. But when he's good Anthony Davis,
sure.
40-20, four blocks. Yep. Domination. When he's bad Anthony Davis, like he'll like shoot like 10 times in the game. 10 times in the game? The whole game? He'll like sit there. He'll have like less than 10 rebounds.
Yep.
I'm like, what is going on with you? What is going on?
You know, the thing is, I guarantee if we played the Bucks in the finals instead of the Pacers, we would have lost. And Anthony Davis would have had a terrible game.
Mm.
Because that's how it is. They saw the Pacers, and they were like, ah, oh, this is totally winnable. You know, it's like, oh, Halliburton's going crazy. I mean, I knew 100%, as much as high as I am on Halliburton, and we'll probably, I know we're going to talk about him, but... that playing against the Lakers, he wasn't going to have a good game. Like, not as crazy as he had been having.
Yeah.
Because it's different trying to do that against LeBron.
Yeah.
Right? It, when you're the type of player that Halliburton is, you don't have the pedigree. You don't have – like, you haven't earned enough stripes. Like, you don't have enough badges yet to do that against LeBron. LeBron always crushes those kind of guys. But if you're Luka, if you're Giannis – you know, if you're KD, if you're some of the other guys, you can do it now against LeBron because LeBron doesn't come in thinking like, oh, I'm gonna dominate this youngin. You know, like I'm gonna put him in his place. LeBron has some fear and he knows you're probably better than him. And it's just not – he comes in completely different. AD as well. This means nothing. This in-season tournament – it broke this, just right for the Lakers.
It broke
it
just
right. It doesn't mean anything.
It broke
just right. It doesn't mean
LeBron
anything.
Has the Federer effect, you know?
Yes.
Except the pool of players that he can do that to is shrinking rapidly.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So, it's so like you're right, he's, right? With
he's post-prime Fed.
Yeah.
And there's like, you know, there's like eight players who are the Nadal Djokovic out there.
Right, right.
Yeah, who can
– they're not
scared. Against them, it doesn't work. Yeah, they're not scared. And they actually elevate their game when they play against LeBron.
And then sometimes he gets steamrolled.
Yep.
Right? So – but then, like, there are the junior guys or there are the 70th-ranked guys that see the name.
Even the Dimitrovs of the world, you know, even these – those guys, right, those level guys, he's still – Fed still will –
they're scared.
Still, at the end of his career, he could still dominate them. He could still put the fear into them. And that's where LeBron's at. He can still put the fear into those guys, right? I mean, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry will forever fear LeBron for the rest of their lives. You know, But there's a lot of guys now. There's 10 plus guys who are not scared. And those guys actually play better against the Lakers. And so that's what it comes down to, what you're saying. Are LeBron and AD going to be better in the playoffs than
Jokic and Murray?
Exactly.
KD and Book, right?
Exactly.
Shea and Chet, even.
I mean, because they're young, probably, I feel like
they still have the Federer. The Federer effect is still there.
Exactly. But even like Luka, Kyrie, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know.
See. We'll see. Because like the type of teams that the Lakers have beaten are the Jalen Green teams.
Yeah.
You know, the
young guys.
Anfernee Simons team, you know. It's like the Cade Cunningham teams.
Oh, the team that won two games and they literally give away wings every time they win to the whole city. Yeah, that's not, to me, that's not an indication of great things to come.
All right, Joe, let's move on to the Pacers and let's talk about your boy, your new rising star boy. On the other side, of course, the Pacers lost the in-season tournament. Cinderella run came to an end. But what a freaking performance from Haliburton. 2011 in the finals, but on the road there, Joe, he averaged 27-8-14 with zero turnovers on 55% shooting against both Eastern Conference favorites, the Celtics and the Bucks. Joe, let me ask you this. Because you said he would rise when we ranked him somewhere in the 23, 24 mark. And you said, oh, he's going to go up. And I said, no, Mikal Bridges is going to go up. Which I think he's still
going up. It's okay, Cliff. It's okay. We know who's right.
I still think he's still going up. Okay. Maybe he's below Haliburton, but whatever. Okay. All day cray cray. Tyrese Haliburton is now a top 10 NBA player.
Top 10? Cliff. Here's his season numbers. Like, you gave his tournament numbers, right?
Yeah.
Here's his season numbers. 26, 12 assists, 4 boards, 52% shooting, 44% from 3.
So his numbers are the same.
His season numbers are, I mean, you know, he played better in the tournament, but, like, not that much.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't know because they don't watch. Nobody watches Indiana. And one of the reasons that people are even so surprised by Haliburton is because nobody's paying attention to him, right?
Yeah.
He's good. The fact that he had – how many assists to turnovers did he have in the last two games?
He had 3 turnovers over the course of 3 in-season tournament, the whole tournament, the elimination round.
I mean, that's insane. And he must have had at least
– He's had over 30 assists. He had a 30-3
no, more assisted. Than 30. Yeah, he probably like 35, more than 40 assists. Yeah, he probably 40 like 40 assists. Yeah, probably close to 40 assists. And 3
like
11 turnovers.
To 1. 3 turnovers.
Like that's insane. Okay. That's to me really what is impressive about Haliburton. Look, his shot is ugly. Okay. I'm going to be the first to say his shot does not look great. He reminds me of a Brogdon. He kind of has a Brogdon formish. And even his game, he's like a – usually you would say like, oh, like Brogdon is a poor man's Haliburton. Haliburton is a uber rich man's Brogdon to me. That's actually what's happened here. But it's his vision. It's his ability to control the game. It's not the fact that he does the things that he does. It's when he does them. He scores. He assists at the right time. And – that's why I've always seen him more as that kind of, you know, pass first guy or like a better like Steve Nash type player, like in my mind.
Yeah.
But no, he's not top 10. He can't be top 10 right now. He hasn't been to the playoffs.
Here, Joe, I mean, one more add-on for Haliburton that I really liked. You love clutch stats. 11 games in the clutch this year, 7-4 record. He's scoring 4.6, which is top 10 in scoring. 70% field goal percentage. 70. He's also shooting 73% from three in the clutch. Insane! Insane numbers. He's playing out of his mind. The record isn't there, but, you know, he's playing great. But after three playoff misses in a row for the Pacers, it looks as though they're going to find their way back. Here's the thing with Indiana. Indiana is an all-star making machine. They make all-stars, right? We've seen this many times, right? We saw Sabonis. We saw Oladipo. We saw Roy Hibbert. We saw Danny Granger. Like, they're kind of, you know, they're good, but they kind of lose their touch at a certain point. But they also have made Paul George, and they made Jermaine O'Neal, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess you could put Sabonis into that bucket.
Yeah.
You know, which side of the coin he'll fall on, I'm not sure, you know?
Oh, God, come on. Are you serious?
Which side of the coin he'll fall on?
Are you kidding me right now?
He's not Mikal Bridges, okay?
Maybe Halliburton is Roy Hibbert or Oladipo. No, you know, okay. You know. Halliburton will be a top 10 player next year. As long as the Pacers make the playoffs and win a game. If they win a game in the playoffs, he's pretty much automatic top 10 next year. Like, and I'm already, he's probably already, I mean, he's probably better than, like, a lot of the guys who are the fringe top 10. And that's the thing that's risky about those guys. You know, he's going to pass up all the guys who are ahead of him right now on the list.
Mm.
You know, like he's going to jump the tens, basically, right? Mm. From 10 to 20. He's going to just jump over all those guys and get into basically the fringe top 10. Because he is demonstrating this kind of, you know, upside. Whereas, you know, there's a lot of guys who are stuck down there, right? Like the Ingram type player.
Yeah.
You know, the Randall type player. It's like those guys who are just stuck in there and they never show that they can elevate to the next level, right? And he's already demonstrating it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously for real, and he's obviously better than Mikal Bridges.
We'll see, because there's a lot of spots up for grabs. AD's in the top 10, Embiid's in the top 10. We'll see what KD does. We'll see what Jimmy does. But there's spots up for grabs. But SGA is coming.
SGA is he's in there. SGA is another level, man. I mean, he's
Ant
crazy.
Is coming. Ant is coming. All right, Joe, let's talk about the Pelicans.
Oh, the Pelicans.
They got blown out by the Lakers. Mm-hmm. They lost by 44. Joe, yep. Zion is 23-6-5 this season on 58% shooting, and more importantly, he's played 20 of the 24 games, right?
Yep.
The Pelicans, they made it. In season tournament, they made it to the semis. They beat Sac. But, you know, in that game, he put on a 10-6-3-4 turnover performance. Then they get blown out by the Lakers, 44-point blowout. He put on a 13-3 turnover performance.
Gosh.
You know, Joe, let's go all day cray-cray. Zion is the problem with the Pelicans.
I'm going to say cray-cray.
Ooh.
I don't think he's the problem. I don't think the Pelicans have a problem.
Oh.
I think the Pelicans are good. I think they are a middle team, a middling team, right? They are not amazing. But who really came into this season thinking, oh, if Zion is fully healthy, the Pelicans are going to make a run for the Western Conference Finals?
There's nobody. Always someone that believes. There's always someone
that
believes.
Of course. There's
I
somebody,
said, I'm never believing in Zion again.
I mean, I don't know if anybody actually believes that, though. I dare someone to find some kind of actual publication or any podcast out there, anybody, you know, maybe out of New Orleans that actually had those kinds of aspirations. I doubt it. I doubt it. Of course, fans are always going to have those kind of things. But I don't even think any fans in New Orleans, if you're from New Orleans and you actually
let us know,
that
let us know.
This season, let us know. Okay. Message us or something. But I don't think anybody out there had those kinds of thoughts.
Mm.
Okay, so what then? What is their problem? I think people look at Zion and they think he should be better.
Mm-hmm.
He's 23-6-5 on 58% shooting. He basically didn't. He barely played last season. As you said, he's played 20 of 24 games.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. What do you expect him to be? If you expect him to be like a superstar, top three player in the league, I'm going to just tell you right now, he will never be that.
Oh.
Never. He'll never be a top five player. He doesn't have the mentality. Mm. You know, even Vince Carter, who in his prime was like an amazing player, right? Never a top five player. Ever.
Super talented.
Right? How many times was Vince Carter ever like top five in MVP voting? Probably never, right? Maybe. I'm not really sure, but probably never. Okay? Like, that's the thing. Because he and Vince doesn't even have a work ethic problem, right? Good work ethic, good
team guy.
Highest
he ever was top 10.
Highest he ever was top 10, yeah. I mean, he's like one All-NBA. He has like – how many All-NBAs does he even have?
He has two.
Two All-NBAs. A second and a third, right?
Second and a third. That's correct.
Yeah. No first team All-NBA, right? Like, that's Zion. It's a different problem. Vince is too nice, right? Zion doesn't have the work ethic. You see Zion sometimes. He does have a mean streak in him, right? Like, he'll get competitive sometimes. But the problem is if you don't back that up with work ethic, you're never going to be a guy who is top five, not even top 10, right? Like, there's no chance. So if you accept that that's what he is a guy who can be like a 5-8-time all-star if he stays just in reasonable shape, right? Like, if he stays in reasonable shape and he averages, you know, 25-8-5 or something like that. Actually, I don't even know if 8-time is too much. But like I think 5-time all-star maybe. You know, if he throws down some dunks during the season, he gets voted in. You know, there's always going to be guys who are fringe and, you know, guys who are – because he's already made it, what, 2 times? Which is insane.
Yeah.
So 3 more times. Can he make it 3 more times? Yeah, he could make it 3 more times. But if anyone expects him to be a superstar, it's like, look, he's already shown he doesn't care about that. He just doesn't care enough. He's so lazy, dude. Like, I watch the games. He does not get back on defense. Guys blow by him all the time. And the effort is just not there. On offense, when the ball is in his hands, that is literally the only time he exerts effort. Even when he's standing in the corner or setting a pick or something, he's doing nothing out there, okay? Worse than James Harden. Like, when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he's not doing anything on offense or defense. Only when the ball is in his hands. And the sad thing is, even with that minimal effort, he's probably giving about 40% effort, Cliff. 35 to 40% effort. He can still average 23-6-5. Imagine if this guy was giving 100% effort. He should easily be like a 35-9-4 guy on like 60% shooting. Because every time he rises up, he's in the lane. He's so big. Guys bounce off him. He's getting layups. Just rim run. I mean, he would get 10 more points a game if he just, like, ran to the rim. This guy lazily jogs. He's wearing shoes, I swear, but it looks like he's running in Crocs. Like, that's what it looks like. It looks like he has slides on. Like, every time he's moving around, I'm like, why are you so slow? And then when it's to get back on defense, he looks like he pulled a hammy every play.
Do you think Zion will be closer to Blake Griffin or closer to Sean Kemp?
Like, whole career, though? Because Sean Kemp's height was higher than Blake Griffin, I think.
I don't know if he – well, Blake had 1 year where he was third in MVP voting.
Yeah, that's right. He did have that one year where he was, like, crazy.
Sean Kemp –
he was insane. He's never had an MVP. I'm sure he's not had that kind of MVP year. But Sean Kemp
got the seventh.
When he was on Seattle, though, yeah, he was, like, a monster. And they went to the finals.
So you think Zion is less than both of those guys?
Oh, for sure.
Mm.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Because those guys at least cared. It's like the minimal, right? Zion has neither the work ethic nor the passion.
Mm.
Right? He's lacking in two departments. Mm. And that's tough to overcome, right? Because without the passion, you're never going to get the work ethic. But at least if you have the passion and you don't have the work ethic, it's like you can just kind of get by on talent and just show how to – like, how does Zion not have like a 50-point game or something? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like how does he not just by being mad and motivated in a game like have that kind of monster game?
How does he not have more highlights?
Because he doesn't care, man. Like, literally, he's putting in minimal effort.
Like, Vince had so many highlights.
Because Vince had a ton of passion for basketball.
Yeah,
right? He loves didn't have the basketball. Killer. Yeah, he didn't have the killer mentality. But he worked. You know, he got better at his game. Like, he improved.
Yeah.
And he loved it. Yeah, he would scream and shout. And he was competitive. Just in a kind of in a more micro way, right? Like less in a macro way where he wanted to like win championships and stuff like that. He was more just like in the game, playing the game, wanting to win the game. Zion looks like he doesn't care about anything. I swear when he's on the court, he looks like he's thinking about like the concessions.
Stupid. You're so stupid. You're so stupid.
I promise. He seems distracted by like people's orders.
You're so stupid.
Dude, I can't give him a pass. Cause when the reports come out that CJ's trying to get him to work harder and he like refuses, and then the reports come out that they said, hey, you gotta be on a certain diet and he refuses.
Yeah. The Pelicans are pleading. They're like begging him to get in shape and he's ignoring it.
I mean, come on. Imagine we hire a pastor at our church and we're like, hey, you got to read the Bible, you know, like you got to read the Bible. And they're like, nah. Why? I mean, come on, dude. Like, there got to be some requirements, right? Like, what's the like, what is a job? What's a job? like, aren't there requirements for jobs?
The problem is he's talent. He has talent. He has talent. That's the problem.
Look, even if Zion was crazy, though, I don't think this team would be very good. That's the thing.
Yeah. So, what's holding him back?
The Pelicans?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing holding them back. This is just...
Why aren't they... They got Ingram. They got CJ. They got my boy, JV. They got Jose Alvarado, Grand Theft Alvarado. They got Herb Jones. Talent.
Maybe it's, I don't know. It can't be coaching. I mean, I don't know. It's just maybe their franchise. It's like franchise culture.
Mm. Mm.
They kind of like don't have winning culture.
Mm.
I mean, because look, maybe if they did, then they would be able to do something with Zion. Maybe not. I'm not saying that that is actually the reason because I don't know. Right. Yeah. And maybe Zion is just being a brat, like basically, you know what I mean? Like maybe no matter what anybody says, he's not going to listen. He's not going to change. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just immature and he needs to grow up. I mean, who knows? But it's possible. I will say it's possible because we have seen the Pelicans make a lot of mistakes with a lot of players over the years.
They have.
You know, they have a pretty bad track record. Even though they can get some talent, they haven't been able to keep them. They haven't been able to build, like, rosters that make sense. So, I guess they got to take some of the blame.
Yeah, I mean, their all-stars are AD, Zion, Boogie, Chris Paul, David West.
I mean, those are good players, though. I mean, like, Chris Paul, AD.
They're, like, historic players.
Yeah, they're, like, all-time great players. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, the best player you ever had was, like, Julius Randle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because if that's the case, then it's like, all right, I mean, you know, maybe you just missed
like the Knicks draft or whatever. Franchise. Like the Knicks franchise.
Yeah, that's fine. It's like, look, I don't really blame that. They're more that's more kind of bad luck and, like, you know, you're cursed a little bit, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, or, like, even Portland, someone like that. You know, I blame Portland for, like, Dame, but before Dame, did they ever have really, like, great, you know, players? Like, no, LaMarcus is whatever, Greg Oden, you know, got unfortunate, Brandon Roy, injury. So it's like, that's not really your fault, right, if that happens. But you got Chris Paul, who's had a double-decade career of being excellent. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you should have done something, right? AD, excellent player, top 10 player, amazing two-way player. What did you ever do with him? Nothing. Right? And then now you have Zion, who supposedly should have been, like, a generational talent. I mean, doesn't look like that's going very well. And so you got three guys who are, you know, all-time Hall of Famer type guys, and you have never had really the production. It's never been any kind of success.
They have so many picks in the next, like, 3 years. Because they got the Lakers pick, the Bucks pick, they got swaps.
I mean, they can pick players. I think they can pick players. They've done pretty decent with their picks. It's just what happens afterwards. They pick the right guy, but they're not constructing good teams.
I think – I don't know to who or for what, but I think Zion's got to go.
I mean, yeah, you should trade him. I think they'll get better if they trade him. I just don't think they're going to be, like, a contender.
Yeah, I think they got to figure out what the road to that is, whether that's, like, franchise-changing culture, right? Get a new president, get a new GM that instills a new company culture. Fine. Maybe it's the coach, team culture. Fine. But they got to blow it up. Like, something is wrong here.
Dude, you're like, you want to blow everything up. You're always.
Always
blow up. If blow up doesn't. If they don't win a championship within, like, three seasons, you're like, you got to blow it up.
I just don't know what you're going to do with this. Like, this team is, like, just so middling. It's nothing.
They can get better if they trade Zion. They trade up a little bit. They trade Zion in a pick, and they trade up a little bit.
Yeah.
They'll be better.
Because I love CJ. I love Ingram. Yeah. I love Alvarado, Herb Jones. They got a lot of good stuff, right? JV, of course. I love JV. But
I think the problem is there is nobody who wants Zion.
That is the problem.
That's the actual problem. I don't think Zion himself is the problem. I think the problem is you can't move him.
It's unfortunate. You know. And you just signed a huge deal.
Because you have to trade up to get better.
Yeah.
But who can you get? I mean, nobody's going to trade some young guy. Who can you get?
You can probably get James Harden.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez. Westbrook? Westbrook Harden? Go back to the same well. CP3? Maybe you can get CP3 back.
He's available.
Get all three of them. Get CP3, Westbrook, and Harden on this team.
They're all available. Joe, let's hit this real quick. We got to talk about the Celtics, right? They're at the top of the East. They only have 5 losses, but 2 of them came during the in-season tournament.
Yep.
As well as, of course, a quarterfinal ouster to the Pacers. Yep.
Which you predicted.
Yep. Celtics, Joe, Alder, Cray Cray, the Celtics will not make the NBA Finals.
I mean, I have to go all day. Based on the evidence of they haven't gotten better.
Yeah.
They haven't improved in any of the problems that they've always had.
Yeah.
Man, I'm shaking my head, Cliff, at these stats. Tatum, 2.5 points per game, 36% field goal in the clutch. God.
Jalen Brown. I swear that's the same thing last year. I swear that's the same thing as last year.
Jalen Brown not in the top 50 in clutch points per game.
Yeah, and Jalen Brown, clutch player
is Porzingis with 2.7 points per game on 56% shooting. They should go to Porzingis more. I don't know why they don't.
He's playing great.
Yeah, go high post or in the post. Like, Porzingis is unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
He's too tall. Just Unicorn. Let him shoot over guys. Yeah, 10 to 12 feet. I much rather have that than Jason Tatum sidestep three again. Or, like, have the guy actually closing out on that one move that they know that you do, and then he travels. Like, how many times does that happen? I feel like it happens a lot.
Or they make Jaylen Brown come down the middle, and then he does a spin move to his left hand, and then the ball goes off his left.
Ball comes out. Ball just pops out of his hand. They just force him left, and he starts dribbling left, and then he loses the ball. Like, they're so weird, Cliff. Like, when I watch them, it's so weird because I know that they're going to make these mistakes down the stretch. Yeah. I expect it. Yeah. And they're the Celtics. They're the rival of our team, the Lakers. And yet, I'm frustrated.
For them?
For them. Yeah, I'm like, why are you doing that? That's dumb. Don't do that.
It's because we're basketball fans, right? We want to see basketball played at the highest level, with franchises making the best decisions, with athletes improving at every step of the way. We want to see people buck the trend. If you're a choker, don't be a choker. Fix it. Yeah. You know, we want to see stuff like that. If you're Zion and you have weight problems, buck the trend and be like, all right, I'm going to come in the best shape I ever going to be in. I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to dunk every ball. We would be hyped. We would love that, right? Yep.
It's like when you watch a show, and we always talk about this, but people are out-dumbing each other. And it's like nobody likes that show. You know, how do you end up in the right place at the right time? Oh, it's because this guy idiotically left the address out on his desk, and then some guy found it, you know. And it's like, that's not what you want. You want people outsmarting each other. Right. In a similar way, you don't want people out-choking each other, and that's how games are won. Oh, well, this guy missed, and then that guy missed, and then this guy missed.
And game's over.
And the game's over, yeah. And the team that was up by one with a minute left is the team that wins the game. It's like, that's not what you want to see. You want to see lead changes. You want to see them out-clutching each other. Yeah. Oh, huge shot. Oh, even huger shot.
Yeah.
You know, on the other side. That's what you want to see.
You want to see Bills Chiefs in the playoffs 2 years ago when they scored 25 points in 2 minutes.
Yes.
Out-clutching each other. That's
exactly.
That's what you want to see.
You want to see those kind of miraculous heroics. As heroic as something can be within the context of a sports game. That's what you want to see. Not
Bills
chokage.
Chiefs this season where someone steps offsides and the game's over.
Gosh. And the game's over. Oops.
Like, what? What? What?
Oh, gosh. Ugh.
What? Yeah, that's the problem with the Celtics. That's why they're not going to make the finals. The only benefit they have is Dame is just, it's whatevs right now with the Bucks. He's like, whatevs. He's not the Dame. And I don't know if that's just because they're just learning to be with each other. Because most teams, when new stars come together, which I talked about from the beginning, they got to come together. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
They're going to be better, Cliff. They're going to have a player-only meeting in about 2 weeks. About 2 weeks from now. Mark it down.
Yep.
They're going to have a player-only meeting. And they're going to figure out. Dame and Giannis just don't. They're not. They're weird.
They're not clicking.
They're not clicking. I mean, on the court, you can tell that even when they bring the ball down, you know, Giannis, he loves to have the ball in his hands in transition.
Does. Yeah.
And you can tell Dame is like waiting to get the ball. Yeah. Giannis is waiting to get the ball. Yeah. They're both kind of just unsure what they should do.
Yeah.
And Dame has still been good in the clutch, though. Like, he's still been good in a lot of these close games towards the end of the game, usually. Because I think they don't really think anymore.
Yeah.
And for Dame, he's just kind of operating how he's supposed to operate. But yeah, during a lot of the game, it looks so disjointed.
This looks like another season where Miami can sneak through. I swear.
I don't think so, though.
I swear. I don't know, man.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. It's always possible.
It's always possible.
We got to see what's going on with Philly toward the end of the year, but I have a lot more faith in Philly now because Tyrese Maxey is
taking the place of Harden.
Yes, and he is way more clutch. I mean, I see no fear in Tyrese Maxey.
No
and I
fear.
Think that bodes well for Philly. They actually have a chance. And Embiid is playing some of the best basketball of his life right now.
He's been so good.
Yeah, he's very quietly. Like, nobody's really talking about it, but he has been amazing.
33, 12, 6. One steal, two blocks.
And it's been producing wins. And he looks a lot more comfortable on the court. I think it's because Harden's gone.
Yeah.
And Ben Simmons is gone. And all the people in the past that have, like, held him
plagued
back
them.
Are kind of gone. And so...
They have a good starting five with Maxey, Melton, Oubre Jr., and they got, you know, of course, Tobias and Embiid.
That's a solid group. Going to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think whoever else is there, I'm not sure. But I think Philly will be there.
So, if you don't have the Celtics making the finals, then they'll lose in the semis to Philly.
Maybe. No, to Miami.
Miami.
Again.
And then Philly. And then, of course, Miami has an edge on Embiid. And then they sneak through.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
If it was like Phoenix, Miami, that would be crazy. Because if Denver goes again, they're just going to crush everybody.
We'll see. I'm already seeing some fatigue, though, with them.
I mean, this is what happens when you win a championship. People get full.
Yeah.
People get full. If you're hungry this whole time and you get fed your meal, you don't want to eat anymore. You got to be a special breed of psychopath to be hungry after winning, after eating your meal.
Yeah. And Jokic,
he don't care.
The other day he got kicked out of the game. He's like, all right, cool.
He does not care. It's insane. Like, right,
I'll just go to the back.
All right, Joe, last thing really quickly. In-season tournament, I have a pitch, okay? The problem was with the in-season tournament is that you lose one or two games in the group stage, then the team that they play cares very little. We saw Chicago, right?
Sure.
You got to have some pride. Lose by 26, they lost by 33. Okay. Here's what we should do. Here's what the NBA should do. Because I did really like when the games actually mattered, and I did really like playoff tendencies coming out. We saw with Randall. We saw with Tatum. We saw with LeBron. Here's what you should do. The first 20 games of the regular season is seeding for all 30 teams to play in the tournament. That way, doesn't matter if you're Detroit and you're 2-20, you'll still make the tournament. Get some playoff experience. Have some pride. Try to win the tournament something.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
I think they can also try the format of no East-West seeding. It's just all league seeding, right?
Right.
So that way the Bucks could play, let's say, Memphis or something like that, right? So that way we could try it out that. I also think the prize should be a little better. I don't know what. Maybe the winning team gets the All-Star game next year so their city can collect the money.
Sure.
I think the money for the younger players is good, but I think there needs to be something for the star players to get. Maybe the MVP is good. Maybe add another award, you know? I don't know.
Sure.
More hardware. But I think the concept was good. I don't think the title matters, but I really liked that it seems like people are gaining championship experience or like playoff experience during the season, right? Mm-hmm. We'll see if that actually translates. My theory is going to mature both the Pacers and the Lakers. But, I mean, the Lakers just lost to the Mavericks. So, I don't even know I know what I'm talking about.
I mean, I like the idea. I think the reason that they don't do a bigger tournament is because they have to schedule actual games.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, because I agree. I thought that was what they were going to do when they were talking about it.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, a league-wide tournament would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just single elimination, March Madness style.
All the way down.
All the way to the
top
end.
Top two seeds get buys.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you could have a real Cinderella-type run that would be amazing to watch. And you would feel much more accomplished. Like, this way, this term is stupid. Who cares? Like, only like 8 teams go to the...
Yeah.
It's like, that's not a tournament. You know, it's just... It's so whatever. It's like, I thought at least 16 should go to the elimination round.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. But
the knockout round was too short.
It was so short. It's not interesting at all.
No.
Yeah. Even the seedings didn't make sense. And I was also confused. Why did when the Lakers played the Pelicans, it was Pelicans home court?
Great question.
What was that? I have idea what that even meant. Lakers were the higher seed. It was played on a neutral court of Vegas, but for some reason, everything was Pelicans.
Yeah.
Why? Micah asked me. He's like, why is it Pelicans court? Because he's confused. He's like, aren't we the higher seed? And I was like, yeah, you're right. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know why it's like this.
Probably because the fan base is Lakers, so they're like, oh, let's throw a Pelicans court on here.
How does that make any sense? Like, this is just nonsense.
It doesn't make sense. That's so stupid. The courts were terrible. It was so distracting.
Yeah.
Have regular courts.
Super distracting.
Have regular courts. Just add the emblems they always do. NBA finals. Just add in-season tournament.
As long as we're dreaming, what I would do is get rid of the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. And have the in-season tournament in place of the All-Star game. Like at the midpoint of the season, that's when you do the in-season tournament. And maybe you do some kind of novelty game with like only the stars of the tournament or something like that. I don't know. Something that's more tournament related. But I would do it like that because I think All-Star's stupid at this point. Nobody cares. And people might actually care for the in-season tournament if it was around that time. And then it was followed by like a break.
Yeah.
You know.
It's interesting.
Prize-wise, I don't know though. There has to be something related to either the regular season or like a pick or something. Do you know what I mean? Like something – like it ups your chances in the lottery or something like that if you win the in-season tournament.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like has to be something related to the franchise, you know what I mean? Because that way fans will actually be invested.
What?
They'll be like, dude, if we get a better pick or something like that, that's amazing.
You know what you should get? Yeah.
Okay, real quick before you say your thing, because I think your thing's gonna be good. I think maybe you should get cap space.
Well, that's interesting.
You get additional cap space. So if you go to the top, you know, without hitting the luxury tax. This is so like inside baseball, but then you could, you know, it's like it's kind of an unfair advantage. But what were you going
to
say?
I think what you should get is the ability to trade your draft pick. I think piggybacking on what you said into the top lottery spot, you get the top lottery spot for the number one draft pick.
Oh, like odds. The best
odds. Basically. Best odds.
So you don't get the pick, but you don't get the pick, odds.
But you get the best odds. But worst case, you get fourth, right?
Right.
That's the worst pick you get.
You don't hit the letter. That's true. That's interesting.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Because like, let's say Wembanyama is coming out. You go all out to try to win that tournament that year, right? Like the offseason is going to be crazy. You're like, oh, okay, we got to stack everybody so that we can win this.
Maybe they should change it completely, the way that the lottery works.
Yeah.
It's odds all the way down. And
based on the in-season tournament?
Yes. It's odds all the way down.
Oh! There's no guarantees. I like it.
No guarantee. You're picking every single – you're drawing a ball every single time.
That way tanking's over.
Tanking's over. Yeah.
Tanking's over. Then the rest of the regular season's all about trying to make the playoffs. That's interesting.
That probably wouldn't work because some teams would just suck forever.
yeah, like, the rich will get richer.
Yeah.
That's why I think disrupting one pick isn't that big of a deal. Although it's not giving you the number one pick, but it's giving you the best odds at the number one pick. That's what I think is fascinating.
But you're guaranteed like a top four. So if you're like, that's why I'm saying maybe it should go down further. Maybe not all the way. That's too much. But maybe like 10 or something.
Well, let's say – what about – I got it. Top three. Get the top three. 1, 2, 3. Finalist or winner, finalist. And then you play for a third place game.
Oh, to get the third.
Third odds.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. So then the rest is like, if you still want to tank, you can tank for fourth best odds.
Right.
Fine.
Right.
But how good
but
is
you
that?
You can
really?
Never tank. Basically, you can never tank for the number one pick.
You can never tank for the number one odds.
Odds. Yeah. Yeah. Odds.
You could still get the number one pick.
You could still get lucky.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's better. At least you are disincentivizing tanking a little bit.
Yeah.
You're putting more of something for your franchise and your fans in the in-season tournament to actually care about.
Yeah.
And then the money's just keep the money because that's what will incentivize the players.
Yeah. I like it. I like it.
We fixed it.
We always
CJ,
do. We always
CJ,
do.
CJ, send this to Adam, please.
All right.
Please.
All right. Do you have a two for the road you want to talk about?
I mean, I can.
All right. Let's do you two for something? The road. I'll go yeah, one go for the road. Joe, I watched Loki. Did you watch Loki?
Dude, I was going to do Loki.
That could be both our two
yeah,
for the
we'll
road.
Just yeah, we'll just combine it. Yeah. We'll just go by it.
Two for the road. What did you think about Loki?
Dude, it was amazing.
It was great.
Yeah. I thought Loki season 2 was the best thing that Marvel has put out on Disney Plus.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. Probably there, twice
there's
as
a,
good
there's
as
a
the
narrative.
Next best thing. Yes.
There's a narrative. And like it's just like a character arc.
Yes.
Like they based it on a character.
Well, somehow, it's not the same Loki from the MCU, mm-hmm. right? I mean, basically, because that character went on his own whole arc.
Yeah.
This arc is pulled out of Avengers. This character is pulled out of the Avengers first movie and then goes on his own journey with knowledge of the other character.
Yeah.
But, man, it's so satisfying.
It is.
Season 2 is so satisfying. Episodically much better.
Yeah.
There are contained stories that push the bigger narrative, but there are kind of gimmicks. Like there's things that are happening in every episode that are kind of the rules just for that episode, right?
Right.
And it's like, okay, here's the story for this episode. They do a lot of cool stuff with time travel.
Yep. Which we love.
They do basically all three things that you can do with time travel, which is you could do time loop.
Mm-hmm.
You could do Back to the Future, and you can do Groundhog Day, right? Those are the three things that usually, and by time loop, you know, I mean more of like a Lost, right? Where you're doing something that's making something happen in the past, but actually it always happened, and then you're stuck in a loop, right?
Yeah.
The what is it? The compass from John Locke's compass, right? It's like, but how did it get there in the first place? Well, it's always been there, right? And they do it all well. It's not too complicated where you're going to like think about it forever. It's just fun.
And they do it in a fun way, right?
Yes. And it makes sense. It obeys the rules of its own.
He's got to learn everything he needs to know that Obi knows.
Dude. Yeah, Obi was great too.
Yeah. Great characters. Good character work. Like everything about it, just superb, right? With a very intriguing mystery as well, right?
Yes.
I wanted to text you this, but I wasn't sure if you've seen it or not, so I'm glad we're talking about it. The feeling I got when Loki was talking to He Who Remains is the same feeling I got when we first watched the end of Matrix 2.
Oh, yeah. The architect.
The architect. I was like, what is happening here?
But this was much better than that.
Yeah, right,
actually.
Right. Right.
Because that turned into just an exposition.
That turned into nothing.
Yeah.
That turned into nothing.
Could have actually been cool if 3 was good, but
to me it was more about like what it exerted for
the
me,
feeling.
Right? Which was
right.
the what the hell is going on and the intrigue of it and like trying to dissect it, right? Like what is actually happening?
Yeah.
That was the same thing when I saw that part. I was like, "Oh, that's fascinating." When he says, "How many times have you done this?"
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's getting real.
It was good. And then the conclusion is so satisfying.
Yeah.
you know,
his final arc. I mean,
yeah. I guess to not spoil it, but
I don't know what it means for the rest of all of it.
Sure. But it's like just the idea of him dealing with his own fear of loneliness.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because that was kind of his arc.
Yeah.
And it concludes in that way. It's very just like, oh, this is... I feel like it's something that's been missing from all of the Marvel stuff in Phase 4 and 5. I don't even know what phase we're in anymore.
It's all blurred together in a mesh of badness.
This kind of like real sacrificial heroism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of just been missing.
Yeah.
I think they tried to do something like that in WandaVision, but you're like, you didn't sacrifice, man. You freaking tortured all these people for like this. Yeah. And at the end, they're like, oh, they'll never know what you gave up. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, you're holding all these people in prison for like this whole time.
I think the part that you're talking about, the sacrificial part, and by doing that, he got the one thing he always wanted.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Totally. Totally. Yeah. It's just, that's what I'm saying. It all makes sense. Like, it all fits together. But not in the way you expect, though, right? Like, what you're saying, too, but not in the way you expect. You know what I mean? It's like, that is beautiful storytelling. The feelings I got at the end, too, when it was concluding, I was like, man, this is so weird. I'm not used to caring about anything that's happening on Disney Plus, basically.
Yeah.
Like, all those shows, I pretty much watched them like a zombie.
Yeah.
Especially Stupid Invasion. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so stupid. Like, and feeling so disappointed at the end.
They made a Siler.
The biggest mistake in superhero history. You repeat that of all things to repeat it.
But again, I think we discussed this last time when we're talking about anything MCU right now, is that nobody struggles. Everyone wins right away, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Like there is, like, Loki is a story of constantly losing. He constantly loses. Right?
Yes.
And so that's where, like, you want him to win.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. That's what generates the desire. It's any underdog story, right?
Yeah, of course.
You can't win all the early fights.
You can't.
You gotta lose, especially the ones to the masters. You know, maybe you beat the low guy, the first low guy, and then you get to the first mini boss, and you're like, oh, what? This guy owned me.
Every single first-person video game, Japanese style, that I've played, you play the last boss immediately.
The first fight. Sekiro.
Immediately. You have like 3 hearts. And you're like, get owned. Like so badly.
Yeah.
That's just good storytelling.
Well, it gets you invested immediately, right?
Of course.
You're like, oh, what? This guy? This happened immediately? Or, you know, you're in the story, you know, your dad dies or your wife dies or whatever. You know, it's like something bad happens that puts you on this journey that you're invested. It can't just be like, oh, yeah, you know, you go and you defeat everybody.
It's like Joel in Last of Us. His daughter dies.
Yep.
Like, something bad happens to you.
Something bad, yes.
Not
trauma.
Not that I'm a woman. I can control my Hulk powers immediately.
Oh, you can't do that?
What? What?
You can't do that?
What's happening here? What's happening here? Anyway.
I'm the best. I've always been the best. My whole journey is just learning that I'm the best at everything. That's what this whole story is about. I'm so much better than everybody that I'm even better than the writers of the show.
Oh.
I'm going to break out of this whole show and like tell these writers what to do.
Can't do that. Can't do that.
And then they're in the writer's room like, is that good writing? Is that good writing if we say that we suck at writing, we do a bad show, and then at the end we call out how bad it is?
But this is why Luca crowned too early. This is why King James crowned himself too early.
Oh, I like how you're bringing it back here. Yes.
Yeah. Bring it all back. All right. This is a basketball podcast.
It's true. You know what? This is why, Cliff, let's just close it right here, okay? This is why people love to death Kobe Bean Bryant. Mm. Like, so much, right?
Yeah.
Like, why is there such passion? Because so many people hated him.
Yeah.
Because there were so many people who were like, why are you airballing? Why are you even taking those shots? I like
you
Eddie Jones
pass.
More than you. You don't deserve to be an all. You know, it's like all of these people saying these things.
Shaq's better than you. All that
You'll stuff. Never win on your own. You'll never win anything without Shaq. Mm-hmm. Oh, you just lucked into like a good situation. Oh, all this, you working so hard. This is all BS. You know, that's all a front. That's all a show. You got to have those challenges, right? And then you overcome. And then when you overcome, finally, people are like cheering for you.
It's the heat. It's the face turn.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn you're the, face. Oh, we hate you. You're cursed. You have the QB. You're the worst student in this whole class. You'll never be a ninja. Right? That's what you. That's how you start a story, guys.
Always.
Hey, you, Naruto, you're the chosen one. From the first episode. You're the chosen one. You're going to save all of ninja-ness. Look at the way he throws a kunai. Oh my gosh, I've never seen that before. Let's do a commercial where we're in a temple worshiping the chosen one.
No, that's the other character. That's the other character, your rival.
Yeah, that's usually the villain.
Yep.
The villain or the frenemy.
Yep. The Byakuya.
Yeah.
The Sasuke.
Yep.
That guy.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe, like, comment, share, rate, give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week with more nonsense. This is SBR with Cliff and Joe. Peace. You know what was the best social media thing I've seen this year was this guy that did the headshots of NFL head coaches and what their jobs would be if it wasn't a head coach. One of them was a guy that constantly tries to sell you crypto.
Who is that for?
I forget what I should have saved that. I can't find it anymore. But
that's
it was
funny.
Like, but what another one was like, you know, a 2-time divorced dad that's trying to talk to you about how stuff at a kid's soccer game. It's like, oh God.
It's sad because you know the guy.
Yeah.
You know that guy.
Yeah. I think Andy Reid was like janitor.
Dude.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that fits pretty nicely. It's like that.
Andy
Reid like
strikes me as like a, I don't know why, like a sheriff who's just like in the office, like a desk jockey sheriff, right?
That's like actually donuts. Really good.
That's good, right?
Yeah. The captain, and he's just like always disgruntled.
Yeah. Riggs, get it here.
Riggs!
He's got some donuts, coffee, probably in Texas, got like a big hat. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's him.
That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. We probably could do the same thing with NBA head coaches too, because there's a lot of guys I don't recognize anymore.
I mean, Nick Nurse for sure is like IT guy. he comes and he's like, does one of these like, You got Wi-Fi problems? Wi-Fi's not working? Did you try resetting the router? Dude, I could do that all day.